Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. Yeah. This ain't no video game, yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene. Damn. Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound, so point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now. Gravity. That's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein. Yeah. I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money Damn. Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans. Again. Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again. God, so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master. Take a class again, cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my word's my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it damn. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan. Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Welcome, 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 welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Thursday. Wow, week is almost over. Thursday, October the 19th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show schedule for you today. As you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, I want to jump right in, man. I've got a very powerful message. It kind of piggybacks off of yesterday's message, or the last message, where we was talking about how to know the truth versus a truth using three tools or three mechanisms, which is number one, what they call exegesis, which is interpreting or learning stuff or information based upon its culture, based upon its definitions, based upon a good interpretation. We also talked about etymology, which is based upon the origin and the definition of the word. And then we talked about the Ruach, which is the leading and guiding of this thing that we call intuition, which is this inner witness that we have that comes from the pleroma, which comes from the word pleru, which simply means the fullness of the Godhead. So we have the universe that gives us intuition, that gives us a sense of enthusiasm. This enthusiasm gives us inspiration. This inspiration gives us the ability to be charismatic or to proceed in a way that is called dunamis power. All of this is the result of two things, repetition and the imagination. So today we want to talk about the dangers of this. Now, I've been on both sides of the coin, and most of us have been, but we don't realize it. So we go through life, and we don't realize what we realize. What does that mean? Right now, your heart is beating, but you don't really realize it. You don't really notice it. You just know that you woke up this morning, and you're moving through life, and you're operating or you're vibrating, and you're either very successful or you're not quite as successful as you would like to be. All of this is the result of repetition and the imagination. So we need to break down these two understandings, because the Bible talks about vain repetition. And so many of us, unfortunately, are operating inside of what I call vain repetition, and also vain imagination, which is what the Bible calls phantasmagoria or witchcraft. Now, the thing that's interesting to me is that most of us go through life, and we've never really, when I talk to my clients and I explain to them the biological aspects of what I do, meaning that not only do I read the Bible or any literature, but I look at it from a scientific perspective. So not only do I have scripture, I need science to go along with what I have. In addition to science, I also use physics or math or some kind of geometrical structure. So the next series that starts on the 30th, I'm going to be talking about the physics of plasma. So you have plasma inside of your body that carries the blood. It's blood plasma. So the plasma has certain properties. We're going to talk about that from a biological perspective. Then we're going to go into the Bible, and we're going to talk about what the Bible calls love. So love has plasma. So in other words, love needs something to carry it. Now, that is called, which is very difficult, love without ownership. So ownership is plasma. So we're going to talk about the physics of plasma. Now, nobody that I know can love something without owning it. I would like for you to try it. Now, there are some people that can tolerate, some people that can care for, some people that can be nice to. But love. Now, remember the definitions of love. So the key to the universe and everything that you do in your life is the ability to love without control. Now, I don't know too many people who can do that. I can't do it. I'm working on it. But if I love you as long as you love me, or I love you as long as you do A, B, C, D, I got a long list of shiznits. So if you can't meet my list, then my love for you is gonna stop. So that's not love, because love, again, is faithful. Love is kind. Love is just. But the biggest thing, love never fails. That's love. See, true love, it elevates. You can't fall in love. If you do, it's counterfeit. You must elevate in love. Love elevates you. Love does something that is crazy. Love is powerful because love is repetition and imagination. It's not vain repetition or vain imagination. See, the Bible says something about that. See, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Repetition. It's called a ritual. Now, the Bible talks about, it says that, hey, don't be a necromancer. It says don't practice divination. Bible also says don't do sorcery. The Bible says don't do witchcraft. All of this stuff is what you and I call learning. Now, I don't have time to look up the definitions to prove, but you can prove it to yourself. Just look it up. That's what I do all day. And if you want to prove, I can prove to you that what you are doing right now is what the Bible calls vain repetition. So that means you need to stop doing it. The Bible also calls it vain imaginations. So we need to stop doing it. But we need to understand what we're doing, because That's how you get stuff done. So let me make sure you understand what I just said. You got to stop doing what you're doing, but what you're doing is what you got to do. So how do we stop doing what we need to do while still doing it? We got to remove out love. I'm sorry, remove out vain. Vain is the problem. See, when we talk about being successful in life, and the four areas that I focus on is wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. So the Bible says this. If you go to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Matthew 6, verse 7 says something that is very powerful. It starts off by saying, and we'll go with verse 6, but when you pray, go into your inner room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then it says in verse 7, Matthew 6, verse 7, and when you pray, do not babble on like pagans, for they think that by their many words they will be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So we're not supposed to go to the Father and say something over and over and over and over and over again, thinking that the more we say it, the faster we get it. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a part of any neuro-linguistical programming. Have you ever taken any self-help or self-improvement classes? They all say to do exactly what the Bible say don't do. So you're supposed to do mantras. You're supposed to do what is called auto-suggestion. You're supposed to do vision boards. You're supposed to do something in repetition. The Bible says don't do that. The Bible says the pagans do that. Now, everybody knows, if you're listening to me, that Christianity now, it didn't used to be, but after Abraham left his father in Ur, the Christianity was mixed with paganism. So now we got really what we got. We got paganism and Christianity mixed together. So before then, before Abraham left Ur, what did Christianity consist of? Now, if you can answer that question, then your belief system will change, because then you will have a knowing system. That means that your ability to operate in the spirit realm and the physical realm will be enhanced, because you will stop believing what is being taught. Right now, you believe what's being taught because you have what is called an Abrahamic religion. That's okay, but that is vain. Repetition, vain imagination. Why? You have a ritual. What is a ritual? A ritual is something that is a rite. A rite, R-I-T-E, allows you to be R-I-G-H-T, which allows you to be W-R-I-T-E. In other words, you do the same thing over again at the same time, at the same place, at the same position. Every time you go to church, it's on the same day. You go to the same building. You probably sit in the same seat. You probably wear same or similar rituals. You go to work in the morning. You drive the same route. You wear the same clothes. You sit in the same office. You do the same thing. Rituals. Rituals is repetition. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with repetitions, just like there's nothing wrong with the imagination. In fact, the whole world is based upon that. In fact, most people, if you really understood the power of the imagination, you would do what I do. Now, I know that the imagination is the result of what the Bible calls graven images, which is what I call pixels, which is what I call a picture. So if you can put a picture in your head that's not on paper, something happens. I'm going to ask you, how do you see the picture that's in your head? I'm going to pause for a moment so that way you can ponder that statement. So I'm going to say some words. I would like for you to close your eyes and see if you can see with your eyes closed. How do you see with your eyes closed? So if I say elephant, close your eyes, what do you see? Elephant, what do you see? If I say tree, what do you see? If I say car, now if I say a specific car, You will see a mental picture of that car in your head because you have a frame of reference. So how do you see with your eyes closed? Now, if I tell you to read to yourself, if I read, or if I tell you to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 21, that's the next verse, the next scripture, and I tell you to read out loud in the King James Version, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it reads as such: because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. So if I want to darken your heart, all I got to do is give you vain imaginations. So if I want to enlighten your heart, then I want to do the opposite of that, which is what I do. So I do the opposite of vain. If you can start doing the opposite of vain, your life will become successful, more successful. You're already successful. We're optimizing. We're doing three things. We are going to manage, we're going to maximize, and we're going to monetize. That's what we're going to do today. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to understand the fact that the Bible specifically tells us don't do this, but yet everybody do it. Because the universe, the system that we've been talking about, that's invisible. Now, this system is controlled by what I call the shadow government. Now, the Bible says it this way. I'm paraphrasing. You want to look it up for yourself. Now, remember, everything I teach, I use biblical, I use non-biblical, I use biology, I use astrophysics or astrotheology. Now, because if you've been listening to me, you understand the terms, because the words establish the worlds. So the Bible says, don't use vain repetition like the pagans. So that means vain repetition comes from paganism. So everybody knows, if you've been listening to me, that Christianity today is paganism. Because we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Easter, we celebrate Hallow's Eve or Halloween. So we got pagan tradition. We celebrate Ishtar. It's in the church. So why is pagan traditions in the church? It wasn't like that until Constantine. It wasn't like that until Abraham left Ur. And God told him to leave everything there in Chaldeans. But he didn't. He brought some culture. He brought some traditions with him. And those traditions seeped into Christianity with the help of this dude called Constantine. And so these traditions are repeated. Every year, Christmas comes around. Every year, Thanksgiving. Every year. Now, we've exchanged holidays for holy days. So we don't have holy days anymore. We don't have the Feast of the Trumpets. We don't celebrate the feast anymore. We celebrate holidays. Now, the reason why this is important is because power is in tradition, or power is in repetition. Repetition. Now, remember, repetition makes one reptilian. Now, I don't know if you really understand the depth of the statement. So the world that we live in is controlled by the Dracos. Now, the Dracos are what they call the shadow people. They're from the upper expanse of the north that it talks about in the book of Job. They're from the Sirius, most everybody in my car, I have Sirius XM. Why do they call it Sirius? Well, it's from Orion's belt. That's the god of the south that it talks about in the book of Job. It's not the god of the north. So the god, Yahushua, Lucifer says that he wanted to ascend. He wanted to sit in the seat. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to replace the Most High. So what we have is a manipulation of the Most High system by the Most Low, if you want to call it that. He's called the antithesis, the opposite. That's why we have dualism. So repetition and imagination are two things that establishes this dimension. Now, anybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, how did you learn your multiplication tables? When I went to elementary school, I was taught to regurgitate my multiplication table. I start off with addition, subtraction. This is called learning. If anybody ever looked at the definition of the word divination, What about necromancy? What about sorcery? What about everything that it talks about in the book of, what is it, Deuteronomy? I think it is, where God tells, where he talks about the things that we're not supposed to do. Witchcraft. Y'all ever looked the definition of that stuff up? That's it. Everything that you do right now, that's what that is. All you got to do, again, I've done many shows on it, so for the sake of time, I'm not going to go over that. I need you to understand what Yahushua is trying to express, expose, and expand. That is, he said that I have chosen to take what the enemy meant for evil, and I'm going to turn it around and use it for your good. So the big G says that I'm going to come and I'm going to get my sheep. John 10 says that the good shepherd, he has the sheep. His sheep, they hear his voice and they follow him. He stands at the gate. And then he says that there are some sheep, or there's somebody that's trying to enter into the sheepfold through the back door. So there's a bunch of people trying to enter in to the sheepfold through the back door. That's using magic. That's using witchcraft. That's using technology. All of these things that doesn't come through the front door, they're trying to enter into the kingdom through the back door. Now, Yahushua says something that is profound to me, because he says, after I get my sheep. Now, remember, he only came for the lost sheep of the tribe or the house of Judah. So if you're not part of that, which I'm not part of the tribe of Judah, so that means if it wasn't for John 10:10, I would be in deep kimchi. Because he says, after I get my sheep, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get the other shepherd's sheep. So that means that there's other shepherds and there's other sheep. So that's good news for anybody that's not a part of the house or the tribe of Judah. So learning through the power of repetition without true spiritual knowledge makes you reptilian in nature. It activates the reptile brain. Now, they use fear. Now, remember, the only way to activate the lumbar system, this is the biological aspect. This is why I teach biology. I was talking to, and I talk to a lot of clients. I do this every day. And especially when I'm talking to my clients that's part of the LGBT movement, and they tell me, man, I don't believe in the scriptures that talks about that. So I don't use scriptures. I use biology. Same thing with vain repetition. So there is something inside of your brain called the reticular activating system, RAS. If there's anybody listening to the sound of my voice that don't believe me, and I hope you don't, I hope that you research and say, you know what? I'm going to see if Brother Will is lying. Maybe the brother's not quite as sharp as he thinks he is or that he would like to be. I hope you're making those statements as I'm talking to you today, because there's nothing like looking it up for yourself. So you go to Google or your favorite search engine and just type in the reticular, which is very close to the word reptilian. Type in the word reptilian. Now, why do they call the first part of your brain the reptile brain? That's my first question for you. My first question for you is, why do you have a reptile brain? My second question for you is, where did it come from? So you got a reptile brain. On top of your reptile brain, you have a paleo, which means old, cortex, which means covenant. Then you have a neo, which means new. Look at the word neo, N-E-O. Turn it around. Remember the Matrix? There was a dude named Neo. Why was he called Neo? What does he represent? He represents the neo, new, cortex, covenant. So your brain has three layers. You have the reptile brain, you have the paleo brain, and you have the neo brain. Now, the reticular activating system, it activates anything that is inside of the brain. It doesn't let, the brain is a filter. It filters out information, and it is only through repetition, and it's only through pixels. Now, pixel dust. What is that? What is pixels? Well, pixels is what pictures are made of. Those are the small particles that makes up a picture. Now, look, go in your Bible, and when the Bible says you should have no graven image, look at the word graven and the word image. You're going to see this word in the Greek and the Hebrew. Where we get the English word pixels, pix. Now, I've talked about the rap game back in Houston, back in the 70s and the 80s. that was a company called Pen and Pixels. And I've told everybody to go to Google and look it up. And there's two white guys, and everything that they put on these rap dudes' covers of their albums, because back in the day they used albums, came true. So they put a guy on a cover in a white Rolls Royce with some with a female, and it came true. Then they put a guy on there shooting another guy, and that came true. So these two white guys that they're in hiding right now, and I think it's Oregon or somewhere, Idaho. So why are these guys, tapped into something that they didn't know, Pen and Pixels, which represents basically penis and vajayjay, for lack of a better term. So it's sex magic. So they was activating sex magic. They didn't know it, but that's what they was doing. That's what you do every day, but you don't know. The world that we live in is controlled by sex. So 666 is sex, sex, sex. So the reticular activating system activates on that particular system. Now, the reason why this is important for you to understand, because your reticular activating system can only be changed through repetition and imagination. That's why books like Think and Grow Rich, when I read that book in my 20s, and I was young, dumb, and stupid, I didn't know what I was doing. And I started using visualization. I started using vision boards. I started saying mantras because I did not understand how my reticular activating system worked. I didn't know that I had Aaron's horn or the ram's horn in my brain. I didn't know that I had the butterfly in the middle of my brain that's called the holies of holies. I didn't know that what my brain was. I just was doing something because I wanted to get money. So I didn't know how to use my reticular activating system to get what I want. I didn't even know what it was. I just knew that my brain, again, was activated by my attention. So whatever, based upon neuroscience or what I call neurotheology, which I have in my book, that breaks down how the brain is hardwired for God. That's what the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So something happens to the brain when the brain hears something over and over again. Now, without going in and trying to repeat what I wrote in my book, I just need you to understand this. When the repetition and the imagination is vain, something happens to your brain. Let me say that again. When the imagination, when the repetition and the imagination is vain, something happens to the brain. Let me say that again. But let me say it another way. See, the part of the reticular is at the base or the brain stem. This is the central part that that controls behavior. That is why I'm a behavior modification specialist. Because I understand that the function of the cerebral cortex connects to the body's 12 cranial nerves that crosses Golgotha or the base of the skull. Remember when Yahushua died? He went down and he took the keys of death and the grave. Well, that is a biological function as well. It also has an esoteric meaning. That's what Jesus meant when he talked about parables. He means it has an inside meaning and an outside meaning. So if your repetition is vain, if your imagination is vain, then it affects the brain. Totally different than if your imagination and your repetition is purpose-based, which is why I only teach purpose-based production, meaning where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So if you decide you want to get money and you ain't got no purpose for that money, that's called vain. See, some people believe that where your attention goes, nothing grows. I'm the opposite. Where your attention goes, something grows, meaning that whatever you put your attention to, whatever you focus on, whatever you look at, you get more of. So based upon neuroscience or neurological science, the reticular activating system is creating your future. Now, let me make sure you understand what I just said. If you go to Google and type in RAS and click on images, you will see that the reticular activating system sits on the base of the skull. It activates or it controls something called pons, P-O-N-S. It has what is something called the mandula oblongata. So this is right above the spinal cord. Now, the spinal cord has what I have in my book, the cerebral spinal fluid. That's why anal penetration is so dangerous. So the fluid flows down from the top of the brain down to something called the sphenoid bone. It's called your tailbone. Then it goes back up the brain. This is called the kundalini. So to activate the kundalini, which is the most dangerous thing to do, the pineal gland needs to be vibrated. Meaning when you do what they teach in Eastern mysticism, which is OM, when you go that vibrates the pineal gland, that activates the pineal gland and the cerebellum. Now the cerebellum is the cherubellum or the cherubim. So when God put a cherubim at the entryway to the Garden of Eden to prevent Adam and Eve from coming back into the garden after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that is the reticular activating system. The Garden of Eden represents the brain. The cherubim with the flaming sword, as I've already taught, represents the cerebellum in the brain. So your reticular activating system is like an angel that's standing guard that doesn't let nothing into your brain that doesn't agree with the existing belief system. But what if you got a poverty mentality? What if you got a spirit of lack? You will always have a spirit of lack unless you understand how to override the reticular activating system. God knows that, so God gave you a system. God says, think on these things. So there's a scripture in the Bible that tells you exactly what to think about. Why? Whatever you think about, you bring about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But you got to think how? Repetition. But if that repetition is vain, then you bring about more vain. It affects the brain. Now, the reticular activating system is a part of the brain that controls your inside, your third eye. The Bible says, if thine eye be single, great is thy sight. But if it's not single, you in deep kimchi. What does that mean? That means that the optic nerves of the eye are also contained inside of the optic nerves of the pineal gland. That's why there's pine cones in the Vatican. That's why there's pine cones everywhere. Why? The optic nerves inside of the pineal gland. Did you know that your pineal gland, that's in the middle of your brain, also has the same type of cells that your eyeball has? These are optical cells. So what is it that the pineal gland is seeing with your third eye? That's why everybody's talking about third eye activation. Images and words activate the third eye. So if I walk up to you and call you a loser every day, all day, in about, again, 21 days, depending on how intense that verbiage is, you will be a loser. Now, remember, it takes 21 days to create a habit. It takes another 21 days to create a destiny. It takes another 21 days to create a lifestyle. So 21 three times, rounded up to 30. Give me 90 days, I can change anybody's behavior. That's why I changed my own. 90 days. How? Through the power of repetition and the power of the imagination. However, if that repetition and that imagination is vain, okay, what is vain? Let's look it up. Now, dictionary.com says this. If you go down to the bottom of the page and look at the word origin, I don't even read the top of the page because that's the New Age version, because definitions change over time. So you got to find the original definition. So the original definition of the word vain means devoid of real value. Bam. Let me say that again in case you missed it. Vain repetition, vain imagination. So I got a picture in my head of something that I would like to achieve. Or I am saying mantras to myself. I want to be wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a great toe-curling relationship. So if I say that to myself, is it vain? Is it devoid of real value? Is it idle chatter? Is it unprofitable? Is it worthless? Is it empty? So the word vain means devoid of value. So now we've got to look at what's valuable and what's not valuable. Because what's valuable to me may not be valuable to you. So I need to establish my value based upon something. Where do I get that something from? Me, I recommend it that you get it from your biblical purpose. Because that attached again with something that is outside or something that is bigger than yourself. So money, cars, women, all that stuff is great, but that violates universal spiritual law. What does that mean? The Bible says that we are led astray by the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the cares of this world. So that means if I make a goal that is based on one of those three things, it's vain. It's worthless spiritually if I say I'm a spiritual man or a spiritual person. So vain repetition represents darkening of the heart. Because remember, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 21, and it says, for having known God, they glorified him not as God, and were thankful. But they became futile in their own thinking, and their foolish heart was darkened. So in order to darken, in other words, when I see bad behavior, I looked at my own behavior, and I didn't like what I saw. And I asked myself one question. I got good intentions, but I got bad behavior. Now, why was my behavior bad? My behavior was bad because I was hurting people. There was people that I love and loved, and I hurt them. I didn't wake up that day and say, I want to hurt people. So why am I hurting people? Because my repetition and my images, the words I'm telling myself, I want to be wealthy, I want to be wealthy, I want to be wealthy. And I got images of cars and money and stuff that I want. However, it was vain. Therefore, I leave a trail of destruction. So everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you have to examine your goals in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship, and ask yourself one question. Are they vain? Because you see, that means you are doing what pagans do. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. We live in a pagan system. Now, if you're black, you can relate to this. Now, if you being black in America, even if you're 1% black, you're black. It's amazing how my children are half and half. I told my son this, and he's experiencing it right now. He's at UT Austin. And I tried to prepare him before he got there, and he said, no, Dad, I can be white if I want to be. I said, yeah, you can be. But the system will not accept you as white. Now, he didn't believe that. Called him and talked to him today. He's experiencing that. Just because he's half black and half white, the system says he's black. He can say whatever he wants to say. But there's a mass consciousness. There is the dominant culture that is primal, that is, again, white supremacy. Now, whether you believe that or not, you can go out into the world and experience it. Now, if you're white, you have no idea what I'm talking about because you have something called white privilege. Now, I ain't mad at you. It ain't your fault, just like it's not my fault that there was such a thing called the Black Panther Party. There are people that are very, very pro-black and aggressively standing up for, again, African-American rights or black people's rights. Is that good or bad? I don't know. So the definition of the word value. So Donald Trump is good at playing on that. Donald Trump is causing division. Why? He understands the system. He knows that there's a system in place that says if you are this, then you automatically have certain rights. And if you're not that, you automatically don't. Based upon what? They just decided. Who's they? The dominant culture. Who's the dominant culture? Whoever's dominant. Who's dominant? Who sets the rules? Caucasian men. So, now, I didn't set up the system. I was born into this system. So, I have a choice. I can fight the system, or I can create my own. So, now my son is experiencing, regardless of his repetition and his imagination, because he repeatedly told himself, I am a white man. He has images of being a white man. But he went to the dominant culture, and they say, you're a black man. And they proceeded to treat him like one. Now he gets pulled over for driving while black. Now he gets ignored in class. Now he goes to school. He's the only one there. Now he feels everything that I felt growing up as a black man in America. Now, is that wrong? No. Is it right? No. It's just the system. So there is a system in place. The system says whatever you repeat over and over again, the Bible calls it a ritual. It makes your reticular activating system say, that is R-I-G-H-T. So let me make sure you understand the system. Whether you like it or not, that's another study for another time. All I'm simply saying is you might want to pimp the game. Now, you cannot play football with basketball rules. Basketball is supposed to be non-contact. So if you go out on a football field and you got a basketball mentality, you're in trouble. You are not going to understand why you're getting hit. You're going to be angry. You're going to be pissed off. That's what I was. I didn't understand the system. Now I do, so I'm not angry no more. In fact, I wake up every day happy because I understand the system. So the system says you got to perform a R-I-T-E. The system says that. So you need to make sure that you understand what a R-I-T-E is. In the Old Testament, it's called G-R-O-V-E. It's called a grove. Now, let me make sure, because this is really important. Because many people are violating the system, the laws, and you're not getting results. Your behavior is not changing. So a rite is what we call a ritual. You ever heard the word like rite of passage? You got to perform a rite of passage, a passage. So that means your repetition must be, again, a R-I-T-E. Now, a rite is like a ceremony. It's something that you do at the same place, at the same time. It's like a ceremonial act. It's a procedure. Now, that comes from purpose. At least mine do. So purpose establishes something called a procedure. Now, the procedure establishes something called a process. Now, the process establishes something called a product. Now, the product produces something called, at least it should, a profit. And the profit, again, gives me something that's called peace or prosperity. So those are the seven P's that comes from purpose. That's a R-I-T-E. Now before, when I didn't have no purpose, I didn't have that. So if you don't have a R-I-T-E, your reticular activating system doesn't think that you are I-G-H-T. So a right makes your brain thinks it's right. That empowers you to write. So an R-I-T-E gives you R-I-G-H-T, which allows you to W-R-I-T-E. That's called a sigil. Now, a sigil is what we call a symbol. Now, a symbol produces something called magic. In other words, it manifests in this reality. This is how this system works. That's called, again, repetition and the imagination. So any picture that is held in the brain is going to be produced in the hand. Let me say that again. Any image, any pixel, as they found out down in Houston when they started pinning pixels, that everything that they put in a picture that they wrote down inside of a business plan that they regurgitated or that they believed came into reality. That scared them. They didn't know what they was doing. Most people don't. But it doesn't work if it's vain. Vain, at least it doesn't work positively. Let me put it that way. Vain babbling or vain repetition. Just because you got something in your brain and you say a mantra over and over again every day, that doesn't mean anything. Because why? It's worthless. It has no value. Just because you got a picture, you got a vision board, and you got a goal, and your goal is that you want to, you know, make, you know, $100,000 a year, and you set that up, and every day you read, you get up, and you, this is what I did, because this is what it told me to do in the book, Think and Grow Rich. This is what they teach, again, in most charismatic churches. I was a part of the faith movement, so they said name it and claim it. So my dudes came in, and they said, hey, God to bless you if you say this, if you do that. So I did. My house got repoed. My car got repoed. House got foreclosed on. This went on for years. See, I'm a little slow. So I kept trying it, and it kept failing. Because why? Vain. I had vain babbling. I had vain repetition, and I had vain imaginations. What I had had no worth, and it had no value based upon my belief system. So, again, it's very important, brothers and sisters, that you got to change your repetition, and you got to change your imagination to something that has worth and has value. Now, the best way that I found out is I wrote my own definition. So if you go to my website and you look up the definition of wealth, you're going to see this definition. It's energy, because energy is an entity, or it's an emotion. So energy is an entity in motion. We call it emotion. So my emotions come from my thoughts. So if I got a thought, it creates an emotion. The emotion then creates action. This action creates a result. We call it behavior. So my behavior was bad. That means my energy or my entity was bad. My emotions was bad, which means my thoughts was bad. So I thought, what was I thoughting? What was I thinking? So I did what the Bible says. The Bible says bring every thought into captivity and see if it is of God. Well, I had a flawed definition of God. Because I didn't have, you know, my biological father wasn't in my life. My mother died when I was young. So everything that was very religious to me was bad. So my system, my image of God was flawed. My pixel of God, the image I had of God in my head was whack, because the authority figures in my life was whack when I was a kid, at least according to my definition. Now, remember, the only way the devil can possess you is first he must oppress, then he must depress, finally he can possess. That's the only way he get in. So something happened to me. The definition of the word oppression is cruel, harsh, and unjust. So when I was a little kid, we used to get beat. I thought that was kind of cruel. In my brain, my mom didn't do nothing, so I thought that was unjust. And I thought again, I said, this is harsh. So that created depression. Cruel, harsh, unjust. So anything, let's say you're in a relationship. Somebody do something to you, you feel like it's cruel. You think about it, and man, you're like, that was unjust. And then you feel like it was harsh. Be careful. You're in stage one. Then you keep doing repetition and imagination. You keep thinking about it, and you keep imagining it. Bam, you go to step two, depression. The word depression means the lowering of one's spirit. Now, you have a ruling disposition given to you by God that is based upon love, joy, peace, gentleness, all of these positive, biblical, spiritual things. But the devil, the bad guys, the shadow people, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, I'm not your enemy. Even though I may be the one that did bad things, that was something basically inside of me. Now, remember, people who abuse are themselves abused. Now, I came from an abusive environment for me. Now, my brothers and sisters, maybe they got a different perception, but my perception is my reality. And in my head, the shizness that happened to me when I was a kid was cruel, harsh, and unjust. Yeah, I didn't like it. I went to my biological father. I remember seeing him in Love's Negro walk right past me like he didn't even see me. I was a kid. 12, 13 years old. That messed me up. I felt it was cruel. I felt it was harsh. I felt it was unjust. I used to come home. He locked the door. He would say, Negro, you don't live here. I said, well, my clothes is in there. So I felt that was cruel, harsh. Now, people ask me all the time, Brother Will, why you always talk about your past, dude? Because I'm over it. But now I use it as a teaching mechanism. Because remember, my mess is my message, not yours. It's mine. So I use my mess as my message. Now, I take this mess and I use it as a message so that way, again, I can monetize it because my cash is in my past. So I get paid, and I get paid very well, to do what? Talk about how I overcame my past with the help and the grace and the mercy of God. That's what you should do. We all should be doing the same thing. So what am I saying? In conclusion, I am simply revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying to you that the most important thing that you must understand is that the way you think affects the way that you feel. So I got to affect how you think, if I'm a bad guy or a good guy. So the bad guy is going to oppress you. The good guy is going to inspire you. So that's how you can tell the difference. Somebody come into your life, and every time they come around, you feel something because they saying something. And you feel, man, that was cruel, that was harsh, and that was unjust. Why y'all think they keep showing y'all those images of cops beating up people? How does it make you feel? Does it make you feel love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness? Especially if you're a black man and you see another black man getting choked to death by cops, getting beat, getting shot in the back. How do you feel? How do you feel when you watch the nightly news and all you see is, North Korea is threatening to nuke the United States and Donald Trump ain't helping it? How do you feel? What is it doing? It is activating your reticular activating system. What does that do? That produces fight or flight. Since you can't fight the government, guess what you're going to do? You're going to flight. You're going to recede. You're going to run. That's stage one, recession. Oppression. Then stage two, depression, lowering of one's mental state. Why? To make room for a new one. You got a disposition. You got a very good one. But all of a sudden, you with somebody, you at a job, you drive a car, you live in a house, you're somewhere. Because remember, the problem is you or your environment. Both of those you can change. See, a tree cannot get up and change its environment, but you can. You can move. If your environment is whack, if your job is whack, if your house is whack, whatever, guess what? You can get a new one. Now, it may be hard, it may be difficult, but you can do it. You can do it. So you can change the things that's oppressing you. You can change the things that's depressing you so that way the devil don't possess you. Because if you stay and if you don't make adjustments with yourself or with your environment, it's going to result over time with you feeling. And whatever you feel is real. So the devil got this three-step process, oppress, depress. Then I can move in and possess. Your job, don't follow the oppression. That's why I don't do fear. I don't do oppression. So nothing is cruel. Nothing is harsh. Nothing is unjust. Now, it used to be, but I understand the power of the imagination. I understand the power of repetition. So the power of the imagination and the power of repetition says this. If I do something that is considered a R-I-T-E. Now, remember, this is paganism. But God said, I am going to use what the devil meant for evil. I'm going to turn it around and use it for good. So if you use the devil's system with the devil's intention, you are in deep chemistry. But let me make sure. That was a great book written by a guy named Maxwell Maltz. He wrote this book called Psycho-Cybernetics. I don't know if you've heard of the book. It was written back in the 70s. Great book. He discovered something that was very powerful because he was a plastic surgeon. And he tells this story about this one of his clients who was a female that came into his office and she had an ugly scar on her cheek, on her face. And she wanted to remove it. Because she felt that that scar made her feel ugly. So Dr. Maltz, who was this plastic surgeon, he successfully removed the scar from the woman's face. And her skin and her face was beautiful. But he noticed that the woman still felt and she still thought she was ugly, even though he removed the physical scar. He could not remove the mental pain. So whatever caused that scar, he could not erase her perception. So Dr. Moss totally changed his plastic surgery. And he started to get into what is called psycho-cybernetics. psychology, because he understood that you can change somebody's physical, but it does nothing unless you affect their mental. Because reality is what we perceive it to be, not what it really is. So what this means is the only way to change, according to Dr. Maltz, was that he realized that the imagination changes certain things on five levels using our five senses. And we know the five senses, hearing, see, what you see is visual. What you hear is audio. What you touch is what they call kinetics. What you smell is what they call olfactory. What you taste is based upon, again, your senses of taste. So your internal senses is what you feel. So he had to go into the sixth sense to change the imagination. And the only way to do that was to use repetition and your imagination. And so what he did was he tapped into the power of the imagination. And his whole new industry was born. The only problem with that, it is used, the power of the imagination is just used, quote unquote, for gain, meaning material gain, to fix a scar on somebody's face, to make them look pretty. But the original intent was for spiritual gain. So that way you could be in a, you can have a mental disposition of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Why? Against such things there is no law. Brothers and sisters, the fruit of the Spirit, against such things there is no law. Right now, there are certain laws that are affecting you because you're not walking in the Spirit. The Bible says walk in the Spirit and you cannot or you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's a worldly system, there's a spiritual system. So as a African-American, the worldly system is a system of, is again, institutionalized. It's not individualized. I know a lot of great individual Caucasians that are great people. But then I know that there's an institution of white supremacy. Now, individual white people are, may not be a part of that institution, but some are. So in order for me not to, in order for me to basically have a great relationship with individual, I got to make sure that I don't allow the institution to affect my intuition. So the enemy's job is to use the institution of racism to affect my intuition to make it racist. So I can fall for it or I can override it using repetition and my imagination. So your repetition again is the same thought that you use to develop into a habit that is repeated frequently enough that it becomes an automatic response. That's what I've done. And that's what I recommend you. I recommend that you use your imagination. Now, the imagination is the ability to form a mental image of something that is not perceived by your five senses. So if you don't use your imagination, the Bible calls it hope. Hope deferred makes the heart cold. So if you can pick it up with your hands, if you can see it with your eyes, if you can taste it with your tongue, then that's not using your imagination. The imagination is a spiritual power. You want a spiritual power? This is it. The word imagination is the word image and the word nation. Or the I'm a G nation. Let me say that again. The word imagination means I'm a God nation. It means a nation is all of your cells in your body. The word nation is a group of people or a group of something. that's working together. You are, now the word God for me means good, old-fashioned discipline, or God-ordained destiny. Either one of those that you want to use. Your job, when you use your imagination, is to get all of the cells in your body on one accord. That's why you need one message and one audience. Why? That's called clarity. That's called purpose. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. So anybody that don't have self-control don't have vision, or they don't have purpose. So your job in life is to understand your repetition, your imagination should not be vain. And remember the word vain, devoid of real value. So if I'm stealing something from somebody, is that real value? No. If I'm doing any of the fruit of the flesh, is that real value? No. So vain is the issue. We need to make sure that we are not doing things that are vain. Vain means devoid of true value. It means silly. It means idle. It means conceited. It means lack of worth. It means empty. It means unprofitable. It means worthless. And brothers and sisters, that covers a lot of things. So in your thinking, make sure that it is not vain. Because if your thinking, if your repetition, if your imagination is vain, then your heart is darkened. That allows you to do foolish, unprofitable, what we call evil or bad things. As I've said before, you show me somebody that has a behavioral problem. The reason I got into this, because I had a behavioral problem. People who have a behavioral problem, they don't understand the definition of the word vain, and they surely, surely don't have purpose. Because where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. And not only once you find purpose, what if you say, because people have told me this, Brother Will, I'm a pedophile. I believe that my purpose is to violate little boys. That's vain. Why? It is devoid of real value. It is unprofitable. It's worthless. It has a lack of true value. You cannot tell me that that is valuable. So when somebody comes to me and I ask them, what is your purpose? I am looking for something that has real value. I am looking for something that has profit or that is profitable. I am looking for something that has worth. I am looking for something that is full. I am looking for something that provides love. I'm looking for something that makes you prosperous. Most people, no disrespect to anybody that's listening, purpose is vain. Most of the things that people think about is vain. Most of the things that people are pursuing is vain. Most of the things that people are imagining is vain. So if you're sitting at home and you have images of naked women dancing in your head, and you are imagining hooking up with Halle Berry, that's vain. It is not profitable. Make sure that your imaginations are not vain. Because when you start the repetition of the imagination, that is what bring about the implementation. The only reason people can't take action up on what they are thinking is because it's vain. The reticular activating system has to be reprogrammed with something that has worth and value, not something that is empty and worthless. Now, it can be, but for a spiritual person, God has designed you in a way that you are hardwired for your God-ordained destiny. You've been already designed for that. So anything that goes against that, you can override it, but the only way to override it is to force it, because you are hardwired already. This is called neuro-linguistical or neurotheology. You're hardwired already for purpose. Just make sure that it's not vain. So, brothers and sisters, I want to thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. Now, may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but know the same pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert you, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your Inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the acting, yo. You going up to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see. I see.